research. So I just want to tell you about some of the exciting technology that I have. There are two main ways of collecting data. If I make it up, I'm choosing to talk to Sam because he's literally just done an essay on all of this. So you can either do quantitative research, which is big, like large-scale surveys, and you're able to generalize your findings because you have a big amount of people participating. That's like the proper stuff. Or you can do qualitative research, which is smaller scale, and looking at people in more detail. Sticking by Paul,
so this may be wicked. And we see other Christian leaders probably trying to take advantage of Paul being in prison while he's out of the picture. We saw in chapter 1 people preaching from selfish ambition. But Timothy remains loyal when others have left. Timothy has lasted. We've been hearing a lot recently about how Christians need each other. As he was emphasizing that last Sunday, we concluded looking at the book of James and how a month as well, the prayer meeting with David and Jonathan, we should be confessing to pray for and watching out for each other to be valuing our spiritual fellowship. And Paul recognizes that Timothy is one of those Christian people who he has a kindred spirit with. He's someone who really values the input of him in his life. So it means that Paul says in verse 20 that he has no one like-minded like Timothy. There is one soul together. That's what that means. So we can think of all the people that Paul has traveled with. There have been many, Barnabas and Silas and others, wonderful, godly people. But they aren't described in the same way. Even though there is this age gap, and between them is Paul and Timothy, who are one-hearted. They have the same goals, they've got the same aims. United in spirit together more closely than any of those other companions. That's another example in the Bible, I know, of this that David has Jonathan and Moses has Joshua and others who are not here and so on. Do you have a person in your life like this? And I'll start by asking that. Maybe they're a family, perhaps your spouse or a close member of your family. Or a best friend who is a loyal supporter in all you do, or an older mentor, or a younger encourager in the faith that you look up to and have this like-mindedness with. If that's the case, having such a person in your life is an absolute gift from God, so be thankful. People who will be with you as a support in your greatest times of adversity, not willing to grasp their own entitlement, support, even if it costs them time or money or energy. And if you don't have someone in your life like that at the moment that you would like to, I'll pray that God will bring a close brother or sister in the faith into your life. How does this special relationship play out in the case of Paul and Timothy? How is their loyalty manifested? Well, look at verse 22. But you know this proven character. And as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Paul Timothy is like a son serving with his father. That's why Paul can say in verse 23, therefore I hope to send him back. Paul saying, who else would I send to this church? Maybe one that just said sending Timothy would be like sending the one who could represent Paul in the best way. And does this not remind us of the ultimate son representing his father? Jesus coming down to earth, God the Son of human form. He's being obedient to his Father, obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And so we read from that parable from Mark chapter 12, that final servant, the final servant sent to the new life. And this time it's the Son, and the beloved Son. We can hear those words of the Father, can't we? That they will respect my Son. Surely they will. I'm sending him because he's the closest to the Father that there is to send. The Father is pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. He will represent the Father in the best way because he is the Son. And yet in the parable, they kill the Son. And we know that Jesus is talking about his death that is to come. And when mankind kills God's Son, the one who has come down from the Father, the one who is the image of the invisible God, he is who Psalm 21, showing that people actually have a concern for themselves instead of looking after their own interests first and foremost. Our humanity is having a concern. Creativity shows it's good to be concerned. But it's a good place to be able to direct our concerns to others. Life is not just seeking to satisfy ourselves and following our own interests first in all sorts of different areas. We must battle against being consumed by that. Having a concern for others is a good thing. Now, of course, we want to be reckless. We want to be completely ignorant of our own needs. But we've already seen that. Paul already said that to verse 4 in this chapter. That each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. It's not that we don't look for our own interests at all, and we've got to be reckless. But that's not to always take priority in directing our concerns and care towards other people. A lonely spirit allowing us to be genuinely directing our cares towards others, as Timothy does. That's what we should be aiming and seeking to work out. Bringing our heart for other people in the right order and policies is Christ and others and then me. And I am important. I do have importance. We must look after ourselves. Absolutely. But others are higher. And Christ comes first. But Timothy isn't the only one showing concern. You see, let me introduce you to our second case study now. Our second character here, Epaphroditus. Well, who is he? Well, this is a man who's closely connected to the church at Philippi. A lot of people think he's one of the leaders of the church. He's certainly serving in some capacity in the church. And Epaphroditus was sent to Paul from the church as he was bringing a financial gift in order to help Paul with his expenses while being in prison. We find that in chapter 4, verse 18. But while with Paul, helping him, he clearly became very ill. And almost to the point of being at death's door. And in God's goodness, Epaphroditus survives this illness. And he comes back to health, as Paul describes in our passage, and he's being sent back to Philippi, presumably as a way of delivering the letter. Now, why all of this is a bit of a dramatic backstory, isn't it, from Paul? Well, Epaphroditus is a man showing humility in being concerned. How do you come to this conclusion? He's the messenger on church business. He's ministering to Paul while he's with him. We see that from verse 25. The end of it, the one who ministered to my need. Now, the Greek word for minister here carries the idea of a priest serving in the temple. So Paul is emphasizing that Epaphroditus is doing a spiritual work. He's doing it for God by showing concern. Serving those who are in need of all this here. So if you're in a situation like Epaphroditus, you're serving somebody else or perhaps ministering to other people's needs, how can other people show you a concern and care that it's a burden and the humility of it is tough? Well, Paul specifically reminds us that this is a spiritual work you are undertaking. Secondly, this concern that Epaphroditus shows isn't only towards Paul, but it's also for the church back in Philippi, isn't it? Look at verse 26. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick, and rather than being absorbed with self-pity in his situation, Epaphroditus is burdened that this church are concerned for him. And he was longing to see them. Again, now some people think that Paul sends Epaphroditus back because of homesickness. I'm not sure that's absolutely clear cut. Remember that the context of all this is to give an everyday example of humility. That's why Epaphroditus is being mentioned here. From the supreme example of Jesus Christ down to everyday examples like Timothy and Epaphroditus. I read a quote this week which said, the Philippians needed another human role model to show 16 says, by this we know love, because Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, our brothers and sisters. That's the burden that show a concern and show a care for each other, investing our hearts in it. But we carry on. That humility through trials, to different trials are referenced here for our two tests that is over. Just like when Aphroditus, well, his trials have been through sickness, haven't they? Physical trials, difficulty in health, to avoid them being almost dying. Paul describes him as a fellow soldier in verse 25 of his battle long. He's described the difficulties in the, and the way he lost his life. In verse 30, Paul says that only because of the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life. I get the impression here that Paul, that Aphroditus has passed himself up saying, well, I nearly died for following Jesus. I assume the Christian wants to be right now. This is humble service. This is humility through trials. This is being faithful to God in tough situations. This is waiting on the Lord even though he nearly dies for it. There's a point that Timothy has been through the humility through trials as well. Verse 22, the start of it. You know his proven character, Paul says. This gives a sense of being put through a special test of being proved. So often metals are often they're proved or tested, but in a fire, so the workman can see whether or not it's genuine or it's fake. So if it's fake and dissolved, if it's a true substance or the impurities of it will come out as a result of that heat. And Timothy has been in the heat, hasn't he? He was there when Paul first came to Philippi in Acts chapter 16. He was there in the trials there with something like it as Paul healed a demon-possessed girl who all the people on the way through it. So when it broke out, Paul was thrown into prison with Timothy's there. Science, I'm sure he has proven character, of course, that's proven character through receive from that fall, in the Lord with all God, as I hold such men in esteem, who is wanting to give his own glory, as such men, he is wanting to encourage the Philippians of Epaphroditus' value in the church. Now, it seems a surprise that Paul would send Epaphroditus rather than Timothy or come himself. Verse 25, you might consider it necessary to send Epaphroditus. It seems a little unexpected. We don't get the impression that the church is expecting Epaphroditus back anytime soon. And it would be tempting for the Philippians to receive him back with questions, wondering if the whole mission had been a failure. Maybe it would be right back. Now, could we suggest that maybe the feeling within the church that Epaphroditus had been involved in some Christian ministry, or even by being the chosen messenger to go to Paul to minister to him, was a big deal? Perhaps he would be more immune from the problems that others may face. Did Paul suspect that some people may regard him as a spiritual failure because he's been sent back for whatever reason that may be? After all, Paul's decision that he's been sent back with it, that's quite clear. Did Paul fear for Epaphroditus' reputation in the church? That might be a reason why he's asking them to hold him in the high esteem. Well, I think whatever the case, there's a lesson for us here. Paul's words are gracious, and they remind us of the admiration and the gratitude we should have for the lives and the characters and the things and the service of our fellow Christians. Especially being thankful for those who work for Christ in full-time ministry. It's very easy to be limited in our uplifting of each other. We can't go away to justify it by saying, well, we don't want to fight on it because he goes to Paul build up pride, which is right. But we really become lacking in thankfulness as a result. We have a complaining spirit rather than gratitude and admiration when we talk of others. Are we willing, as Epaphroditus is willing to be sent and is willing to be sent back, even though to just this may not be his decision, would Christians describe him as being a fellow worker, as Paul does, of this man and being in it together? Are we willing to be walking with the Lord when whatever that might involve in our lives, whether it's being willing to be obedient in an area where we don't want to be, or willing to actually give up a sin that we are struggling to kill, or submitting to God and within his decisions that they may not be our own, or being willing to trust him with our relationship choices, even though that requires some long-term faith, or willing to accept his will in an illness that we're struggling to comprehend. Willing to be thankful for daily blessings that we may feel consumed by negativity. Willing to grow in our faith by reading and praying each day. Then that requires sacrifice of time and effort. Are we willing to hear God? Are we willing to follow Jesus? To have a bigger view of Jesus as we have this morning? Are we willing to admit that I need us as much as everybody else does? So Philippians are to hold Epaphroditus in high regard. They should be willing to elevate their estimation of him because of the service he's given to the Lord. He's an example, isn't he? Not to replace him on the platform, but to think highly of him. And Paul's already said this in verse 3, hasn't he? Nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's where we read in 14. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Paul's already reminded the Philippian church of how Jesus did this, didn't he? Verse 7 and 8. He came as a servant, he comes as a slave, he humbles himself with somebody not being willing, humbling, making excuses. verse 19, Paul says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to save Timothy. Verse 21, we'll see the road of the things which are of Christ Jesus. Verse 24, I trust in the Lord that I myself will come. Verse 30,